I want to look tonight at a man named Simeon, a man who embraced the Lord Jesus when he was just a child. And speaking of Simeon, we read in verse 28 of Luke chapter 2, Simeon here was in the temple, the house of God, and we simply read, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God." I remember hearing about a mother with her children. She was doing some last minute festive shopping. She was going through the shops. She was spent many, many hours trying to find every toy imaginable, trying to juggle many bags alongside looking after her children. Eventually she entered into a lift, and almost overwhelmed and completely exhausted by the whole experience, she exclaimed, "Whoever started Christmas should be found, strung up, and shot." There was, however, another person present in the lift who quietly responded, "Don't worry, we've already crucified him." And that mother, sadly, she was like many today at Christmas. They're so busy in thinking about Christmas that they fail to stop and embrace the one who Christmas is all about. They're so distracted by Christmas that they are not devoted to the child that Christmas is all about. But you know, we have a very different story in Luke chapter 2 in our portion that we have read tonight. Because here we have a man who embraced the child Jesus in God's house. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus had actually just been born in a stable, and he had then was taken to Jerusalem 8 days after his birth. And the reason for this was he was circumcised, just as every Jewish child had to be. You read about that in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 3. It was also a requirement for Jews who had circumcised their child to then bring their child up to the house of God. And 40 days after they were circumcised, and after Mary had reached the end of her purification period, they were to bring their child to the house of God and simply present him to the Lord. And this is exactly what's happening in our portion that we're reading about tonight. Whilst Mary and Joseph, they were up there, and they were up in Jerusalem and presenting their child, the Lord Jesus, to God the Father, there was a very special event that occurred. There's another man there. Simeon was his name. He was a very godly man, a religious man, a just man. And he was there in the temple. He was serving God in the temple, but he was waiting for someone very special. He was waiting for the Messiah, who in this portion we read in verse 25, who would be the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was waiting for the coming Messiah. He was waiting for the one who would comfort, the one who would console Israel, who would console Israel through eventually his death upon the cross. And here we find a wonderful providential occurrence. Because Simeon here, as he was in the house of God, he was waiting on the Messiah. Who walked in the door? None other than Mary and Joseph. And who were they carrying in their arms? They were carrying the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately as Simeon saw Mary and Joseph carrying the baby Christ into the temple, we're told in verse 28, "Then took he up him up in his arms and blessed God." You see, he embraced the baby Christ in his arms, and he was totally taken up with Christ as he was there in the house of God. And at Christmas, we are not to evade the Son of God, but rather you are to embrace the Son of God. Like Simeon, you're to take the child Jesus at this Christmas time, you're to take him up in your arms, and you're to bless the God of heaven, forever sending the child Jesus into this world. Oh, you are to embrace Christ here in this house of God this evening. And remember, at Christmas we celebrate and we commemorate Christ's birth. But you know, really, Christ's birth, it's so important because it takes us to Christ's life and then eventually to Christ's death. That's why Christmas is so important. It's because he was born, then he lived, and eventually he would die on the cross for sinners. You know, the name Christmas, I'm not sure if you've ever stopped to think about what it really means. The term Christmas, it comes from two Latin words. The first word is Christ, referring to Christ the Messiah. The second word is Mass, which simply means to be sent forth. And even in the name Christmas, you have the real meaning of Christmas. Christmas is all about Christ, the one who was sent forth. And I wonder tonight, like Simeon, I wonder, will you take him up in your arms? And will you bless God? Will you bless God forever sending the Lord Jesus into this world? You know, Simeon wasn't the only person who embraced Christ that day in God's house. There was an older lady in there named Anna, and she had served the Lord again for many, many years. And in Luke 2, verse 38, speaking about Anna, we read, she coming in that instance, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Anna, she had devoted her whole life to worshipping God in his house. She too, like Simeon, she was waiting on the coming Messiah. And again, as soon as she realized who the baby Christ was, that he was the one who was predicted, the one who was prophesied, we're told that in that instance, she gave thanks unto the Lord. She simply looked up to heaven and she thanked God the Father for ever sending his Son to be the Messiah. And at Christmas, rather than running away from the Saviour, there needs to be a running towards the Saviour. There needs to be, like Simeon, a running to him, an embracing of him personally in your arms, and then a lifting of him and a recognizing that he is your Saviour, that he is your Redeemer. Oh, tonight, like Simeon, have you personally embraced the Lord Jesus? I'm asking you, are you a Christian? Tonight, are you saved? Are you saved? And are you saved? Have you embraced the Lord Jesus personally? Have you that love for him? Have you that desire to worship and praise Christ? Tonight, I want to look then at Simeon here as he embraced Christ in the temple. Simeon embracing Christ in the temple. Notice firstly here the preparation for Simeon's embrace. The preparation for Simeon's embrace. Verse 25 tells us how God prepared him. We read, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The verb waiting here, it really has the idea of waiting with expectancy. Simeon here, he was in the temple. He had been there for many years. And he was waiting with expectancy for the arrival of Christ, the Messiah, the one who would console and comfort Israel. Now, how was it that Simeon knew that the Lord Jesus would come to Jerusalem? Well, the verb waiting for here, as I said, he was waiting with expectancy. And I believe Simeon, he would have known his Old Testament. We're told here he was a just man, he was a devout man, very religious man. And so he would have known the many Old Testament references that predicted a coming Messiah. He knew of the one who was going to come and console Israel and be their redemption. So I believe it was through the Word of God, that Simeon was prepared, that Simeon was in the right place at the right time. He knew where Christ was coming. He knew when Christ was coming. And he was waiting with expectancy because he had read the Scriptures, and the Scriptures had told him all things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, his study of the Scriptures, it led him to realize who Christ was, and not only that, but what Christ would accomplish and when he would come. So his study of the Bible led him to wait upon the coming Redeemer and Messiah. You see, the word of Christ will always lead you to the person of Jesus Christ. Just like Simeon, it's the word of Christ, or the word of God, that leads you to consider the person of Jesus Christ. I wonder, recently, have you begun to think about the Bible? Think about the word of God. Think about its message. Think about its meaning. Think about the Messiah contained in the Word. Wonder, has the Word of God been speaking to you recently, preparing you, as it were, now to perhaps come to this place this evening? where you will personally embrace Jesus Christ. Indeed, the Lord Jesus, speaking about the Bible, as he spoke to Jews, he said in John 5, verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me." The word "search" here in the Greek, it was used of miners who would search for a precious gem. You know how a miner would go along a beach or go along somewhere or maybe looking for a precious gem, and they would leave no stone unturned, as it were. They would search every blade of grass, every grain of sand, until they found that precious gem. Well, Christ here, he said, you're to be like a miner. You're to be like a miner going through the Bible, searching every page, searching every jot, searching every tittle, until you find the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Word of God will always lead you towards Christ, never away from Christ. The Word of God will always lead you to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I wonder, has the Word begun to work on you recently? Wonder, like Simeon, has he been, the Word been leading you to consider and contemplate the one that it speaks about? That it speaks about the Lord Jesus, speaks about the Messiah. Has the Word been working in you in such a way? You know, Albert Einstein was on a train once, and the conductor came and asked Einstein for his ticket. Einstein, he looked everywhere, he couldn't find his ticket. Looked in his jacket pocket, he looked in his trousers pocket, he looked under the table, he looked under the chair, he couldn't find his ticket anywhere. And the man, he said to Einstein, he said, "It's okay, Einstein, I know who you are. I'm sure you bought your ticket." Einstein responded to the conductor, "Young man, believe it or not, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going. I need my ticket to let me know where I'm going." Well, I want to tell you, with the Bible, you always know where you're going, because it always takes you to Christ. It always points you to the Lord Jesus. And here's Simeon. God's preparing him. He's waiting for the Messiah in God's house. It was the Bible that led him. It was the Word of God, the Old Testament Scriptures, the preparation for Simeon's embrace. But notice secondly here the person of Simeon's embrace. Who was it that Simeon embraced that day in the temple? Verse 32 gives us the answer. We're told here concerning the Lord Jesus that he was a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This here, it seems to be a direct quotation from Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 6. Simeon, he now realized through reading the Bible that this one was indeed the Messiah. And how does he describe Christ here? He describes Christ as a light to lighten the Gentiles. In other words, the Gentiles, they were sitting in darkness. They were sitting in spiritual darkness. And so here's the Messiah. He's going to come and he's going to be a light to those that sit in darkness. Of course, elsewhere in the Bible, we're told in 1 John that God himself is light and in him is no darkness at all. And remember, Christ is the Son of God. And in Christ there is no darkness at all. In Christ there was no sin. So we could say this, Christ is completely light. There is no darkness, no sin within Christ. He is the author and the donor of this light that will go to the darkened Gentiles. And so it was the light. It was the light. The one who would be the light to the Gentiles. And Simeon that day lifted up in his arms and blessed God for ascending. And to those who are in darkness, Christ indeed is the light. Every man in this world, when they're born into this world, they're born in darkness. Not literal darkness, but spiritual darkness. Darkness before God on account of their darkened souls and their sin. However, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to be a light to the Gentiles. He came to be the one who would dispel and remove all of the darkness of sin. And through his death upon the cross, he provides light to the darkened soul who is searching for light. And I wonder tonight, are you searching? Have you, as it were, that torch, the searchlight? Have you it out and are you looking for light? Well, the Lord Jesus, he's the light. He's the one who will take away your sin. Take away the darkness, the depravity of your sin. Indeed, in Matthew 4, verse 16, we're told, "The people which sat in darkness, they saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." And again, this is an account of the Lord Jesus as he's reached 30 and he's now approaching his earthly ministry. We're told as he came and he walked along the banks of Jordan, what did he do? He came to those which sat in darkness. Those who sat in darkness, those who sat in the shadow of death, were told light was sprung up to those people. And of course it's speaking again about Jesus Christ. You see, to those who are in sin, Christ is the sun. And to those who are in the darkness of sin, Christ illuminates them, he removes their sin, he dispels the darkness from their soul, and he becomes their light. And this is the one who Simeon embraced, the light of the world, the one who is elsewhere called the light of the world. He said himself in John's Gospel, "I am the light of the world." I wonder, like Simeon, one of you personally embraced this light? Have you him, spiritually speaking, have you him in your arms? Holding on to him, not going to let him go. Oh, tonight, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Or do you still sit in darkness? Are you still in darkness? The preparation of Simeon's embrace. The person of Simeon's embrace. Notice thirdly here the peace from Simeon's embrace. Because after Simeon embraced Christ, he said he had tremendous peace. Verses 29 and 30, we read, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." The word "depart" there, it just simply means to die. Simeon, he said that he had seen the Lord Jesus. He had embraced the coming Messiah. He had experienced this embrace personally. And he says to God, "Oh, let me now die in peace. Since I have embraced the Lord Jesus, all of his fears, all of his anxieties, they seem to have been removed. He was assured that Israel's consolation had now come. His eyes had seen the salvation of God." Just as Mary and Joseph walked in the temple that day, and he realized, here's the light. Here's the light of the Gentiles. And he then took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He said, "Lord, I can now die in peace. I can die as a happy man since I've embraced the light of the world." And whilst death brings terror to the sinner, it brings tranquility to the saint. To those who have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ savingly, they can die in peace. Like Simeon, if you're in Christ, you can say when you come to die, "Now let thy servant depart in peace, since mine eyes have seen thy salvation." You can die in peace because you experience peace with God and pardon from sin. And on account of this, you can have a peace that endures throughout life. But I wonder, do you know any of this peace? Do you know any of the peace of God? The peace of God that passes all understanding. I wonder, like Paul, could you say in Philippians 1 verse 21, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He actually said to die was gain. To die was gain. Why? Because he had peace with God. All was well with his soul. And he knew that if he died, he, having seen the salvation of God, he would go into heaven. He would enter heaven. And he would enter heaven because he was at peace with God. You see, whilst death brings a disadvantage to the sinner, it brings a great advantage to the saint. The disadvantage of the sinner is simply this, that the sinner outside of Christ, when they die, because of their sin, and because God is a holy God and must punish sin, the sinner, he dies and he goes to hell. But the saint, he dies and he's at a great advantage because the sinner goes to heaven. They die with this tremendous peace. They die with the peace of knowing that they're at peace with God. And I have peace with God. Oh, has your sin been taken away? Has your sin been removed? Has it been cancelled? Has it been transacted by the Lord Jesus? Because if it hasn't, You will not die in peace. But if it has, then you will die in peace. Are you trusting in Christ? Have you personally embraced the Lord Jesus? You know, a soldier lay down under a tree during the Battle of Waterloo. He was dying. He was severely wounded. He knew that he was in the last hours of his life. And there was another soldier who walked along past him, saw him in his terrible situation, terrible predicament. And he said, "Is there anything I can do for you in your dying hours?" The dying soldier said to him, "Would you read from me from my pocket Bible?" The man said, "Certainly." And he said, "Where do you want me to read from?" He said, "Read from John 14, verse 27, which reads, 'Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you.'" The dying soldier, he said, "Now I die happy. I desire to have peace with God, and I now possess the peace of God which passeth all understanding." He lay there for another while. He clung on for dear life. And then he saw his officer walking past him. And the officer, he stopped him and he said, Well, how did you go? How did you do? And he said, "I can now die happy, for I enjoy the peace of God." And as soon as he said those words, he gave up the ghost and he died in peace. Oh, I wonder tonight, will you, like Simeon, will you die in peace? Will you die in peace? Will you be able to say, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, and now lettest thy servant depart in peace"? The preparation, the person, the peace from Simeon's embrace. But notice lastly here the praise in Simeon's embrace. Verse 28, we read, "Then took he up in his arms and blessed God." Simeon, he turned his eyes upon the Saviour of the world. He lifted him in his arms and he blessed God. And as he blessed God, I believe he, in this statement, he gave glory to God. And he gave glory to God for his goodness in sending the promised Messiah. He would have praised God and he blessed God for the one whom he had embraced. He blessed God for sending the Redeemer of Israel. And having experienced Christ, you're now to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. This Christmas time, let's exalt Christ. Let's thank the God of heaven for sending his Son, for the message of Christmas, the one who is Christ sent forth. Let's praise the God of heaven. You know, as I've been preaching on this Christmas theme, both last week and this week, it has really struck me how people reacted in praise to Christ. You know, as we looked last week, we looked at the wise men and they praised Christ. We looked this morning at Mary and she praised Christ. And now we're looking at Simeon. We're looking at a man. And again, he praised Christ. Simeon embracing Christ in the temple. He realized that day who it was. He lifted him up in his arms and he blessed God. And he, having lifted Christ in his arms, he said he could die in peace. May you experience the same peace this holiday season. May God bless his word to your hearts and souls this evening.